Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 6th of December, recording at a rather late 9:58 p.m. Apologies for that. Now, first, what are the highlights here today? In stock markets, we didn't get any additional follow-through to the upside on China, but the market was barely changed. So I think if it can continue to hold those gains and hopefully push ahead a bit tomorrow and certainly next week, that would be good news technically overall. But our view still is very much that this is a likely bottom of considerable significance. Now, another story that's been very much in the news is Apple. And you may have noticed that Apple had quite a big fall yesterday, although it didn't quite get back to its earlier low in the 500 region. But that's down a long way from the 700 level that we've seen. I mean, this is really for two reasons overall, in my opinion. And the first one is, of course, the very, very considerable overextension. And people were just extrapolating the gains. When it got to 500, and Owen and I thought for a while that that was perhaps a barrier, but it wasn't for more than a few days, because when these things really take off and accelerate, they surprise us all with the extent of the moves. And so Apple surged up over 700. But when it was, what's interesting is when it was at 500, people were talking about 600 and 700. When it was at 700, quite a few people were talking about 1,000. Now, that is something that will certainly ring bells with veteran subscribers, because over and over again, we've seen with these big overextensions and bubbles that you get the biggest forecasts, so the most aggressive forecasts near the end. Not because people necessarily believe that, although more of the naive ones perhaps will, but also because people are becoming increasingly nervous. And therefore, subconsciously, if not consciously, that making a bigger forecast somehow makes it feel a little bit safer. Now, Apple, I think, remains a great company, although there have been several problems, not least regarding its maps, which have just reminded people that, unfortunately, Steve Jobs is no longer with us. But Owen and I feel that, the other problem here, which I have talked about, is the fiscal cliff issue, because really, some people have huge gains. Well, a lot of people have huge gains, those Apple shareholders, many of them certainly do. And for any Americans, the temptation to take the profit this year is absolutely overwhelming, since the capital gains rate is likely to go up quite a considerable level. So I think that's been a big factor, and that still continues to play. And the point I've made about it is, if Apple's down close to 500, then maybe people are less tempted to do so. But the moment that sees a really good rally, as it had as of last week, then people are more tempted to get in there and take the long-term profit, and then I don't doubt that they're thrilled to buy back closer to 500, so they can book the profit when the tax is going to be considerably lower, and also reacquire a stock which they understandably love. And I don't think Apple is overvalued at 500, although both Owen and I were discussing this earlier today, and we tend to feel that, you know, don't be surprised if it takes a long time for Apple to retest that 700 level. And I'm thinking in terms of, you know, could it be a year? It's only a guess, but I think it will be a lengthy pause here, as we tend to see after most explosive accelerations to the upside. Now, another development here today of interest is that the dollar was up quite sharply against the euro, but put that in perspective, the euro has, of course, really had a very good run. And I think it got up over 131 yesterday for a while, but it's pulled back. And it's down to 129.69 here today. That's still a solid performance overall by the euro. But again, with the European region being very weak, euro gains become quite vulnerable after a decent run, which will inevitably include some short covering, of course. But the dollar isn't strong across the boards. The Aussie is firmer at 104.85. Sterling dipped a little bit, but less than half a cent. It's at 160.50. The Asian currencies are still quite strong overall. But what I think is interesting is that given that jump in the dollar, that did not affect the precious metals. Number of them were oversold, certainly gold in particular, and silver was getting quite close to an oversold level, and palladium, not palladium, platinum, it's oversold. Palladium's overbought, it's been up 6 weeks in a row. But palladium tested 700 here today after an earlier low of 683, and it's gotten climbed back up to this level following a higher low. If you look at the charts, the lows are rising. And as far as I'm concerned, really what counts in this precious metal sector is that we do see that the when we get these clear reactions, that they continue to form higher lows. As long as they do that, and they may not all do that, or may not always do that, but provided they don't obliterate a low, and provided they have mostly higher reaction lows, and particularly if they have a clear trend of higher reaction lows, that will be consistent with the medium-term bullish hypothesis that we have at Fuller Money. Now, oil, which has been soft generally, down again today. The WTI down to down 145 to 86.43, and the Brent down 183 to 106 and 98. That's good for the global economy. Those are still those are not cheap levels, but at least they're not moving up. That's a really important thing. And they look like they're going to drift somewhat lower. This is a long-term forecast of ours because we have talked for ages and ages about the increased oil production, and not least with the additions from shale, and that's only going to increase in the years ahead. And then the alternative, the subsidized alternatives, for the most part. Now, industrial metals also, which have been quite strong of late, but they were mostly a little softer today here, except for tin. But what I noticed is that there's no overall weakness in commodities. If you look at the Continuous Commodity Index, the CCI, that remains range bound overall. I've commented on this before, and that's a positive development. Last but not least, every time people talk about stock markets, we hear, or I hear, lots of bearish comments. Well, we understand why, and don't need to review that. But I will mention that Germany, France, at least Germany, France, and Austria within the European sector hit new highs for the year in here today. And those major indices of banks, those remain firm generally. And the point is that they're coming up from a very, very low level. And while people were sort of forecasting the end of the world, a little hyperbole on my part there, but not all that much for Europe. Now they're saying, well, actually, the ECB's got to organize them, and they've got a program, and maybe they're going to eventually, well, they might even start to grow again at some point, although not immediately. And of course, that's being reflected in these markets. And not to be frivolous about it, but it's where Europe has big multinational companies, and Germany has most of those. They're doing very well. And on that note, I will wish you all the best.